Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America and Teresa. We're back for another session of In the Open.
Hey.
Teresa's here and present. So last week, we talked about the idea of feeling broken and the question that we sometimes run up against, which is, am I broken? So this week, we're going to talk about not really knowing about who I am. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I have. I don't know who I am. I've experienced that at different times in my life. And I think that many people do experience this in different ways.
I think every single person, because this is like a development thing, right? But you feel like I'm the only one who literally just never feels like I know who I am, or
yes.
And it's made worse by like certain things or whatever, but no, every single human being has to form their identity.
I am in complete agreement with what you're saying, because naturally that's what tends to happen. You question your place in the world, who you are as an individual, where do I fit in? But I think this is a even deeper kind of question when you struggle intensely with figuring out your emotions from the experiences that you're having, and have this maybe belief in the back of your mind that you are broken in some way. So you're just like, I'm never going to be anything to anyone. I'm never going to be able to have all my crap together like all these people that I see. You know, so it's a little different experience.
It also changes across a lifespan. Like, I've only ever been a parent for the past 5 years. So early on, my identity was about being afraid that I wasn't a good person. Like, literally, I am not a good person, which is why I was broken. And so it's like, am I broken? Am I good? Am I valuable? Do I matter? Those were the kinds of questions. Then over time, it was like, well, am I a good partner? I always let my partner pick what we ate and what we watched on TV. And at one point I was like, well, what do I like to eat? Why do I keep eating what other people like, you know? Or like, why do I keep saying yes to people about going where they want to go? And it was because I literally didn't know if I preferred Chinese food over Mexican food or pizza.
Yeah.
And or gave myself the space to say, yes, I love wasabi, and not feel shame, like I was somehow claiming space as part of my identity to say, I like wasabi and I want to eat wasabi tonight, like all of it. And that makes me happy. And if you love me, you're not going to be like, well, I don't like wasabi. I want to eat pizza every day or whatever. And maybe like, okay, I just will guess I'll eat pizza now, because who I am and what I like is not acceptable, you see? And then now where it rises, I'm like, now I'm a parent. So like, this came up for me in early 2020 when like, ugh, all of it came up, and like, I had to go to therapy, you know, bring up therapy again. And it's like, am I a good parent? So like, if somebody said something that made me feel insecure about being a parent, even if it was something so benign, like, did you go to that meeting? Whoa, man, that question was literally just about, did you go to that damn meeting? But the way my brain heard it was, you fail at just taking care of basic things that your child needs, and so therefore you should just die. You know, and you're like, whoa, where the hell did your brain go? You are a good parent. Don't go off the freaking cliff.
The stages of development that you've outlined in your thought process right there, I think, are very important for people to understand too, because I think when you're younger, you tend to have this belief that you are supposed to just have stuff figured out, and you're not. I know people tell you that, like, don't worry, things are going to work themselves out. But that doesn't make, at least in my experience, it didn't ever make me feel good when people said that to me, because I was like, well, I'm trying to figure stuff out right now.
Yeah.
And everybody looks like they have their stuff together, and I'm sitting here struggling.
Yeah. I want to hear if you had to summarize your development of identity into sentences, like, could you do the same?
Yeah. I think the earlier part of my adolescence was focused on understanding my identity in terms of race. Mm-hmm. And it really focused on that because I knew that I was Hispanic. I never used that term then. You know, I was Latina. Mm-hmm. I was born outside of the United States. So mm-hmm. I was an immigrant.
An outsider.
Yes, totally. But I never really understood that because that wasn't a frame of reference until I got into middle school. And people were like, mm-hmm. oh, you're supposed to be with the other Spanish people. And I was like, why? Who said that, you know? Uh-huh. So I was pushed into, literally, like, pushed into these spaces where I was like, I didn't know that I was supposed to identify with this. And then I kind of wrestled with that for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then came to understand, I'm going to take pieces of this because I like this. I'm going to take pieces of this because I like this. And then I just started forming my own personality and being like, I can mm-hmm. speak Spanish and I can do other things. So some of that occurred then. And then kind of later on, where I think the struggle occurs is that I felt in a very innate kind of way that I was connected to helping people, mm-hmm. just my friends and helping everybody. And then I was just like, what do I want to do with my life? Like, I want to help people. And then that kind of became like the little carrot in the future that I was like, what are you going to do to help people? And that pushed me to then consider like what I was actually going to do in terms of work. And then I realize now that part of that is, I would say 75% of that, now that I think about it, is an outgrowth of the fact that my parents were there being like, you should educate yourself, you should do more, because we came to this country for more opportunities and things like that. So that is also tied into my identity, like striving to do more.
Yeah.
Honoring the struggle.
Yeah.
And then all the other things, you know, partner, friend. I think I live mm-hmm. I live best in a space of friend and auntie.
Mm. It reminds me of roles, you know, because of the role you play can so easily help you identify who you are. I'm a student, you know. I feel like one challenge around I don't know who I am is also when you want to be something and it feels very hard to get to that place for a lot yeah. of reasons. When you're young, it's like, oh, I want to be cool. And then as you get older, it's like, oh, I want to be confident. Like I definitely still struggle with this. I, you know, when I'm on TikTok and I watch people are just so confident.
Yeah.
This is where I still struggle with my identity. It's like, I don't exude confidence. This is why I love TikTok and I hate Instagram. I just don't ever go on Instagram. It's too curated. I'm like, I have too many identity issues when I'm on Instagram. And so recently I feel like TikTok has become more like people are doing all this curated stuff. And I'm like, swipe, like give me that person who's a hot mess, you know, because I love that the platform feels that little more gritty or whatever. And I notice I feel the same way. Like I'm comfortable on this podcast. I get to just talk. But if I have to do anything about video, we've talked about that. There's something about that process of identity, of like the way you're supposed to be portrayed on TV or on a video. There's something there that's related to identity and confidence and like personhood. And I'm like, also race. Like I see the video of myself and in some ways I'm reminded that I'm Vietnamese.
When you really like break down this idea of not knowing who you are, those are the questions that you ask yourself, right? Like, do I sound like the other people? Mm-hmm. Do I look like the other people? Because the physical attributes, our characteristics, how we look and all that, they're easier for people to understand when you're comparing yourself to someone else. And for me, that was a place, you know, where I was just like in a sea of all like Hispanics, right? Latinos. Then I was like, oh, but I'm actually Bolivian, you know, like I'd be like, I'm Bolivian. I'm not Mexican or Salvadorian. I'm Bolivian. And my parents have like instilled that in us, you know, mm-hmm. but what the outside world sees, And and pops me into this box, it's whatever they want. So then part of it is then trying to break out of that and be like, nah, dude, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in your little box. And when you're talking about like that grittiness of TikTok, and I kind of feel like what that connects to is like the truest form of showing yourself who you are.
Yeah.
Showing the world who you are. Like, you know how they say, let your freak flag fly, because you're just a freak. Yeah. You're not normal, in quotes. And you're like, hells yeah, dude, own it. Like, you do not have to be ashamed, because there are other people that totally will latch on to your ideas, because we live in that space.
Yeah. This is of Twitch and TikTok as compared to Facebook and Instagram, you know, in terms of just feeling safe, feeling comfortable in my own body and in my own skin, because, you know, I don't feel pressure to try and be something I'm not. I can just be myself and know that I'm accepted and loved, and it's cool.
Do you think part of what your experience was to, and kind of what you talked about, where like in your earlier 20s, I forgot what used your word, you were like, you said, you were not with the in crowd, you were with like misfits. I think that's what the word you used.
Yeah, like in high school, I definitely, then I kind of doubled down on being a nerd. I was like, I'm just going to be a band geek. And I feel like I carried that identity all the way through college, where I stayed in band and it was just like the safe thing to do. I didn't like change young because I had a lot of chaos. So when I found stability, I just wanted to stay in that space. And so when I naturally found band, it's so nerdy. Band was so safe, you know? then in college, band was so safe. So for the first 2 years of college, it was really safe to be there until college. And it wasn't until my third and fourth year of college that I even started to really understand who I could be truly. And then I don't even think I figured out who I was until my late 20s. That's how long it took.
Like when you talk about being in band, I was in band. I was in band when I was like in middle school. And then later in high school, I was like, no. And what's funny is that I can't come up with very distinct things other than what you were saying around roles. Like in a perfect world, like if I would have done anything, and I don't know if I would be happy doing it, like I would do like photography. Like I love photography. Mm-hmm. But I nowhere in my mind was there like an option for me to become a photographer. You know what I mean? And I wonder why that is. You know, was it tied to all these beliefs around identity and all that? But I loved it. It's like something that I still love. But then how you were saying like it took you until your early 20s.
Late 20s.
Okay, late 20s. I'll tell you this. I thought I knew who I was until I was 20 something, then I got married. And everybody that's been listening knows this for a while, but if in case you weren't listening, I was married at 23, divorced by 27. And then after 27, I basically had to figure out who I was. That was the reality after getting divorced.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how life events throw in your face, how you think you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's tied to identity and relationships. And you're like, nope. Because I do say like a lot of people who talk about toxic relationships or should I be with, is this a toxic relationship? Is this toxic behavior? A lot of stuff that happens underneath that is around identity and security. Mm-hmm. And having a breakup and why a relationship failed is absolutely tied to identity. Like who you are did not meld well with who that other person was. And like two traumatized people coming together, the experiences of identity and trauma in a relationship, it just crashes and creates chaos.
But I think that same experience occurs in different spaces where like you've been friends with this person forever, and then something like maybe you're going to go to college, you're going to study something else, and you're like, wait, I thought we were on the same road. And it's like, nah, man, I got to make my own life in this direction. And you're like, what? So then the same kind of process happens, that you are then forced to ask yourself very serious questions. Just questions about who you are and be like, what do I really like? Who the hell am I? I don't have a freaking clue who I am, what I'm supposed to do with my life. How am I even supposed to act in this freaking world? Because I've been told how to function in all these different spaces for so long, and now it's up to me to define it. And that's the piece, I think, that's the struggle.
Yeah, I think a lot of teenage to early college movies have a lot of central themes there. Let's shift to, how do you identify who you are?
I would say part of it is still tied to our roles, because the roles that we are in, sometimes we select them and other times we just exist in them. You're a sister, you're a brother. Whether you're a good brother or a sister, that's a totally different question, but that's, you know, a role. Or you're a mom, something like that. So partly your identity is tied to the roles. Then I think something that naturally happens is that people forget that we are not the work that we do, right? Because that's the next place. You're like, oh, well, I'm a teacher. And you're like, but that's not who you are. And it's like, well, yes it is. And I'm like, no. Like, I want to know who you are as a person. And so that's where the struggle is, because how do I define who I am as a person? Mm-hmm. And the question to me is like, am I liberal? Is it based on my beliefs? Is it based on my values? Is it based on where I live? You know, it's weird.
I do an exercise with people I work with where I give everybody a blank piece of paper. I basically tell everybody, like, put your name at the top, or whatever identifier you want to put at the top. And then basically start with a blank sheet of paper and start putting down all your labels. Give me your labels. How do you identify yourself? And people go all kinds of directions. They go their role, they go their strengths and weaknesses, and then they go into the things that they identify. This is where it can get deep. You know, what are the labels you put on yourself? Like broken, damn, confident. And with my teenagers, the part that's so painful is that even at a young age, my clients have the most horrendous labels that they have in their heads. And when we do this in a group and they share, it's like you start to see that everybody struggles with these negative labels at some mm-hmm. point, you know? But you think that maybe you're the only one that feels awful about who you are. And then really asking yourself, like, where did that come from? And like, is that how you see your friend? Like, why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we have such negative labels that we carry as part of our identity? And it's always interesting to me to see where people go.
I don't know that I can even answer that question, dude. Like, how would I label myself? Like, I have to think about this. Do you know the answer to it? How would you label yourself?
I mean, I've spent a lot of time thinking about my own labels. So yeah, now we've talked about this, right? Like, I'm funny. I'm awkward. I'm anxious. I'm a curmudgeon. I love death. I am a mom. I am a wife. I am Vietnamese. I don't know. Sometimes it's as stupid as like, I'm 5'6" or 5'7".
I mean, I can tell you those things. I'm sarcastic. I am in your face. Sometimes that in your face kind of attitude gets me in trouble, because sometimes I don't know how to shut up mm-hmm. and I just want to say what I need to say. So I'm very outspoken. At different times I can, I think, exude confidence, even though I may not necessarily be confident, but I can exude it. But I think I'm also a very tender-hearted person, but not a lot of people know that. You know, that's not easily, but now everybody knows it. Damn it. and I really like to do for others, you know. I'm totally an empath. I totally believe that I am.
There's like a whole thing around like in relationships. Are you a giver or a taker?
I think I fluctuate between the two. But most often I'm a giver.
You can't be all of one. I think the framework is important because if you find that you're giving too much and you never take, that's a red flag for disparity.
Yeah, that's when you're melding into the other person. Yes.
Yeah. And if you're always the taker, like what the heck? Like, have you paid attention to your partner? Like maybe you're a selfish partner. You keep taking and taking and you don't care if the other person hasn't been able to take, you know?
Yes.
And oh, this was a part of identity. I was always a giver and I would not let other people give. And that was in itself selfish. Oh, you couldn't receive. Yeah, I couldn't receive because I was so tied to like, well, I'm not worthy, so I wouldn't receive. I was so unhealthy.
Oh, that's the vulnerability piece, man.
Yeah, wrestle with like accepting that it was good to be a taker and not a bad thing to be a taker.
That taps into something because I get this feeling what it means to allow for people to help you. For me, it's very much tied to the strength that I have to just push on. And you're like, you know, it's okay to say I need help. And that's something that I've had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And also be like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a clue.
Dude, it so reminds me of family stories. Like part of my identity that is really hard is that in my family, because we are an immigrant family or whatever, it's not even immigrant, it dates back centuries before. Somewhere in my family, we have this phrase. The phrase goes like this. No one will ever take care of you, so you better take care of yourself. So, but because of that, what my family has done is even in a very communal culture, we are hyper independent. And it also meant in my relationships with my partners that I never let my partners know or feel that they were important, because I would basically convey this message that you are disposable. Like, I'm going to take care of myself. You're not going to take care of me. I'm basically not going to let you take care of me. So if you die tomorrow, whatever, I'll be fine. And that's so, so bad. Because, you know, my husband wants to be like, well, I'm equally needed. I see you that way, you know? Like something I feel like I've talked to you before is like realizing even, you know, you say ask for help, but there's also like a rigidity about help. Where you're like, well, I've doubled down on my identity as an independent woman. I don't need help. I'll take care of everything all by myself.
Yeah.
And you're like, that the hell? Like, that's not cool. But that's
tied completely to vulnerability. That's what it is. It's a protective factor in many ways.
But it's where protection goes too far.
Yeah. We are 40. I know you hate me saying that, but we are 40. And when we explore this topic and these themes, you know, we're coming at it from a lens of 20 years in the future from where we were when we were really struggling around these issues. But I feel in many ways now, a lot of the younger folks that are out there, they are willing to rip apart all of these labels and identities and ways that we think in a much more efficient manner than we were at our age, because they're more willing to be like, no, the societies that are around us, they don't mean nothing. You know, we are creating our own thing here. And that is, for me, the most kind of powerful shift, because when we provide them with these things like, hey, think about these things, use our experience to help guide your thoughts here. They're so all about like, just, I want to understand our history, the impact of X thing and what it is today. It creates an opportunity for these young people and the rest of our like society to just do better, because they're going to teach us.
I do agree with you that younger generations, the Gen Zers, are so much better at breaking down labels. Systemic labels. But that's where I think it's probably hard for people who are young and see other Gen Zers look and seem so confident in their own skin. Mm. And if you have trauma or mental illnesses, like, you're not going to feel as comfortable, and it's not your fault. Like, you, it's even harder then, because you see all these people around you who are not conforming to any kind of norm, and that you feel so out of it or uncomfortable in your own skin, and it's not your fault. Like, you experience these assaults in your life from your brain and your body and your environment that may is a thing that you have to see and honor and say, well, okay, what does that mean for me to be depressed or, you know, have psychosis and hear things that other people don't hear? Like, what does this mean about who I am? Like, is my brain broken? You know, like, and your brain is trying to convince you that you're worthless or you want to die, like, while you see all these other people seem so freed up about their identity.
Yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought about it in that way. That label, right? That you're like, am I going to be this depressed person forever? Who the hell am I supposed to be if I'm this person with anxiety? But I would say one of the things that really sticks out for me from what you've shared, one is that you're not alone when you're struggling with this question, which is something we always say. You're not alone with this at all. The other piece of it is, if you're not asking yourself about your identity, I would want to know why, you know, like, because that's work that has to be done to help you figure out how to exist in this space as your true self.
Yeah. Finding out who you are is a process, and it will constantly change because of what you're dealing with in life and what's coming at you. I think when we're struggling in dark spaces, that process can feel very painful. And as you're healing, it starts to feel more enjoyable. Like, finding your identity can feel more enjoyable because then it starts to get into things that are pleasurable, like your hobbies and who your friends are. And so one thing I always tell my clients is, like, if you're especially having negative labels, like, if you look around at the people you love, can you label who they are? Can you label them and describe your best friend and ask yourself why you're so kind and you hang out with this person who is your best friend and you give them such wonderful labels? And we hang out with people we are like. We don't hang out with people that are different to us. So sometimes, you know, those labels that we put on ourselves and the lostness we feel about our identity is self-imposed or comes from trauma. And you got to put that in its place if you really want to figure out who you are.
That's a very good place to finish, dude. I like that, Teresa.
All right, y'all. Keep on fighting.
Yes, ma'am. Bye, guys.